The Big Story is brought to you by Scotiabank. Yesterday was one of those rare good days in international relations.
Last night, Canada reached an agreement in principle with the United States and Mexico on a modernized and updated North American Free Trade Agreement. It will now be called
USMCA. It sort of just works. MCA.
USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement.
99% of the time we'll be hearing USMCA. Has a good ring to it.
The U.S. and Canada reached a trade deal, you may have heard. A crisis was averted. Just ask them, they'll tell you. And this was a very, very good deal, and they will tell you that too.
It's an agreement that, when enacted, will be good for Canadian workers, good for Canadian business, and good for Canadian families.
But what now? Where are you going to feel it most? What small items found their way into this agreement that will seem anything but small in the years to come? How did this deal all come together? What could still tear it apart? What comes after NAFTA? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Cormac McSweeney is a Parliament Hill reporter for City News and for Rogers radio stations across the country. He's covered this saga for a long, long 15 months now. Cormac, are we all friends again? Trudeau and Trump, BFFs, now that it's done?
It appears that things are getting off on a much better foot. Let's remember President Trump was calling, I think, Justin Trudeau dishonest and weak. Yeah. And took many shots at Canadians throughout these negotiations. And, you know, when the deal was done and President Trump was standing at the White House speaking about this, he actually complimented Trudeau in the end.
There was a lot of tension, I will say, between he and I think more specifically, and it's all worked out. You know when it ended? About 12 o'clock last night.
And you mentioned that...
But he's a good man. He's done a good job, and he loves the people of Canada.
You mentioned that...
So a very different tone from Trump. When Trudeau was asked about how this strained relations with the U.S., he said, you know, there were some challenges, of course, but he's more focused on moving forward. It's going to be getting better, and I think the fact that this is... You know, one of the biggest strains that we've had with the U.S. in ages.
Yeah.
Now that this is being put behind us, or, you know, not quite yet, not everything's done, not all the, you know, T's are crossed and I's dotted, but nonetheless, with a bulk of that work behind us now, it seems like things might get a little bit better.
So regardless of kind of all the posturing we saw on Monday from both leaders trying to kind of sell their deal, in the end, how different is what we've got on paper now from the NAFTA agreement that was in place?
Well, if you take a step back from all of it, you know, there aren't many drastic changes that would like fundamentally change the economic relationship that we have with the United States. There are a lot of tweaks in this new agreement. So it's not just the same old NAFTA. We are seeing changes in terms of autos that could potentially benefit Canada. We are seeing some concessions made, such as with the dairy sector, one key focus that's been in the media and the headlines for a while now, where we're giving up some of our market to United States farmers, and that's creating a lot of domestic political headaches for the Trudeau government. But at the same time, you know, when you really look at that, there are a lot of things we're focusing on as the media, but it's not what it could have been, and there were some pretty drastic proposals on the table that never ended up coming to fruition with these negotiations. So not as bad as it could have been, not a massive, massive change to the original NAFTA agreement, but not the same one that we had before.
Right. And when we talk to folks about kind of how we covered these events, one of the things we talked about with one of our guests last week is that NAFTA is one of those things that's understood by politicians and by the journalists who cover them and by the economists who are sort of tabulating the billions of dollars at stake. Where does the average Canadian feel this deal? Where is it likely to make an impact on their wallet or their life?
Well, there are a couple of things. I think one thing that is interesting that was included in NAFTA, which had been a conversation towards the start of the negotiations, but that subject kind of fell to the wayside because it didn't pop up as one of those huge key sticking points that was holding up talks and creating this logjam. But it's the de minimis threshold. And you may be asking, what the heck is that? Well, anytime you want to buy something from the United States, let's say you're online shopping with Amazon, or, you know, I don't know, if you collect sports memorabilia. There's a place in the States that has the baseball signed by your favorite player, whatever it might be. You have to pay duties on the products that come from the United States into Canada and vice versa. And the threshold, the de minimis threshold, is the dollar figure at which you have to pay those duties. So when NAFTA was first negotiated, that dollar figure was $20. You can barely buy anything online for less than $20 and make it worth your while nowadays. So there was a lot of talk about having that increase. So now you can do your cross-border shopping, your online shopping, and buy up to $150 worth of goods before you would have to end up paying duties on that. Another key issue that I think Canadians will start to notice, which won't kick in right away, but we will notice, are some changes to pharmaceutical drugs and the patents around them. And it's extending it from 8 years to 10 years before generic drugs can come in and start reproducing the drugs that you're having. And where you'll feel this is just in terms of the cost of what you pay for your pharmaceutical drugs. And it's something that the NDP and the Conservatives have jumped on right now because it seems like it would benefit big, larger U.S. Pharmaceutical companies, not so much here in Canada. And it is the people who will feel the difference.
What about all the not just rhetoric, but also policies that were flying around while we were negotiating this? All those tariffs, both for Americans, but also for Canadians. Am I going to get my cheap bourbon back? What's going on with the tariffs?
Not quite yet. I know you're probably you have that fistful of cash waiting to buy those bottles of bourbon. The issue around this is that the U.S., there was an expectation that the U.S. would drop the steel and aluminum tariffs, and then our counter duties would obviously, our retaliatory measures would obviously drop when the steel and aluminum tariffs drop. But that hasn't been the case yet. That wasn't a part of this NAFTA deal. The steel and aluminum industries are saying that this was basically a sellout. They don't understand how you didn't nab a NAFTA deal or a USMCA deal without actually getting the assurances that those tariffs would be gone. And so we're sort of stuck here because we don't have that assurance. It seems like there are some suggestions that the U.S. will work towards that once everything is in place with this new agreement, but we don't have that guaranteed. And so the Prime Minister has said that he is going to be continuing to work with the United States towards that end, but no guarantees at this point. So those tariffs are still in place. The one thing we do know is those auto tariffs that President Trump had been threatening, which would have been really bad for the economy, those are off the table with this agreement.
Does anybody actually win at the end of a saga like this, or are we all just glad to get this deal signed and move on? We'll talk about that next. You can save like never before with this Scotiabank Momentum Plus savings account. And now for a limited time, you can earn up to 3% interest until March 10th. You can find all the terms and conditions at scotiabank.com/MP.
When we began the work of updating NAFTA, we kept our focus on what really matters. The new agreement would need to preserve jobs, foster growth, expand the middle class, and support people working hard to join the middle class. It also needed to be fair, which meant that it would have to preserve the fundamental principle of the original agreement, which is that when your trading partner is 10 times your size, you need rules. You need a level playing field. Unless the new agreement achieved those objectives, we wouldn't sign it.
Cormac, do you get a sense, either from the politicians you've talked to or just from kind of the insiders around the Hill, maybe on both sides, of what kind of toll this has taken on the relationship between Canada and the United States? I know we're all friendly now, but it's been a long 15 months.
It has been a very long 15 months. And I think there is a strain there that you sort of took a number of steps back, and we'll see how many steps we can take forward with this current president in place. Because when things kicked off, I mean, it feels like it was so long ago, but I was there at the White House when Prime Minister Trudeau went to go meet President Trump for the first time. And in their closing news conference, Trump was talking about the Mexicans and how he wanted to make them pay for the wall and the auto sector. And with Canada, it was just going to be little tweaks, and everything seemed to be going well until Donald Trump decided we were the enemy. And then he went all out with his attacks on Canada, his attacks on the Prime Minister, his attacks on Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland as well, saying he didn't really like our trade representative. So it kind of got nasty there. And I think, you know, as much as the Prime Minister and the government will try and be professional in all relations that they have with the United States, it is our biggest trading partner, our best neighbor. And I think that it's something that will have a bit of an impact, but it kind of remains to be seen. Who knows? Maybe in 1 year we'll be seeing Justin Trudeau sitting on the front of the White House having a beer or something with President Trump. I shouldn't say that, actually. President Trump doesn't drink. But, you know, maybe we will see them cozy up a little bit more, but highly doubtful given everything that's happened. But I think no matter what, no matter who's in office in the White House, we've always seen Canada-U.S. relations as a very important relationship, obviously. But regardless of who's been in the White House and who's been in the Prime Minister's office, we've always seen Canada and the U.S. sort of work through any differences. Maybe this is an administration that has created a lot more divisions than we've seen in recent history. But, you know, I think it's a relationship that neither side can really afford to have collapse. So moving forward, I think you know, we will see some softening, especially now that the tense negotiations are all done.
What's something in this deal that is not getting the screaming headlines that dairy and autos are, but is going to prove to be important or tricky in the long run?
I think in the long run, there are two issues that I think a lot of Canadians probably won't pay attention to or maybe not care as much about, but they will benefit Canada, the fact that the way this all shook out. Dispute resolution is a big one, and this is basically when two of the countries involved in this trade deal are having some problems, especially with whether it be tariffs or you know, other issues that pop up in trading relationships. The fact that we have an independent process to try and solve those problems, the Americans really wanted to scrap that. And this was the very issue, actually, that former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney stood his ground on with the Americans and was willing to walk away in that first Canada-U.S. trade deal if they did not have an independent dispute resolution process in place. And the alternative, which is what the Trump administration was proposing, was that they deal with it through the U.S. courts. And that's going to be a very one-sided approach to things, obviously. So the fact that there were no changes to dispute resolution was a very key thing that a lot of Canadians probably won't notice in the long run, but is very important for our trading relationship and keeping this a civil relationship. The other issue is the elimination of the ability of private companies to sue governments. And Canada has lost some of these disputes, and it's been costly for the government. So with that gone now, that that sort of gives some protection for the government in dealing with these trade issues.
I was struck by the fact that in the aftermath of this deal, Trump didn't kind of declare victory, which you would think would be, you know, his prime motivation for getting out there and talking. Is there a sense of it from anyone that there's a winner in this deal?
I think you could make the argument that Trump did kind of get his way, but he didn't get everything that he wanted. You know, he went into this saying, I want to kill supply management and like dramatically open up the borders for dairy. He didn't quite get that. He did get an opening of our markets, but he didn't get exactly what he had wanted, and that's killing supply management altogether. He went in there with his demand on 50% content for autos. He didn't get that. He even threatened auto tariffs to get his way, and he didn't end up getting that. So in one way, you could say that Canada really did win in the sense that the worst case scenario didn't happen. And actually, if you probably placed a bet at the start of the negotiations, you may have thought that Canada would have folded a little bit more on some of these key issues, especially around dispute resolution, which is another thing that the U.S. really wanted to abolish at the start of these negotiations. But in the end, it's still there. But Trump can easily claim victory when he goes campaigning around for the midterms, when he says, look, I got more market access for our farmers, and I got the changes necessary to make sure that more car companies are not going down to Mexico and setting up shop there for the advantage of cheaper labor, and they'll think twice before they do that. So he does have the ability to claim some victory here. And it is interesting, but I think we'll see that a lot more when he rallies around and tours around the United States. And I think maybe even holding on to those steel and aluminum tariffs a little bit longer may have something to do with the midterms, because he's going to be hitting the campaign trail saying, look, the Republicans are making sure that we're trying to keep jobs in the steel and aluminum industries in the U.S., here in the U.S., and that's why we have these tariffs on Canada right now and the rest of the countries around the world. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Mexico signed this deal. I'm not as familiar with all of the details that Mexico had signed with the U.S., but Mexico did make a lot of concessions just to sort of get a deal. But they were also dealing with a very unique timeline where they have a transition of power happening, and it's the old government that really wanted to get this done and have it as their legacy before the new government took over.
And it's got a new name now, and it's not NAFTA, so Trump can stand on the stump and say, I killed NAFTA.
Yeah. He always says America first, and what do you notice about this name? First.
USMCA.
It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Thanks, Cormac.
Anytime.
That was The Big Story, brought to you by Scotiabank. You can earn up to 3% interest until March 10th with the Scotiabank Momentum Plus Savings Account. Conditions apply. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find our archive there. You can also contact us and contact us on social media at Big Story Podcast, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Find us where you get your pods. And when you find us, rate us, review us. If you like us, tell a friend. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.